Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 8. This is the reading of God's word. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf that have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will bless all of us, that we may be granted an ear to hear your word. Let us hear your voice through your word, and let our faith grow. And let all of us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us, and how our eternal reality looks like, so that we may see it and rejoice it, and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From chapter 25, God has commanded the Israelites to build a tabernacle. And God did that so that he may dwell among them. From this, we see the amazing grace of God. However, when we look at chapter 32, which we begin today, they have built the golden calf. It is as if we are looking at Genesis 3 all over again. In chapter 24, we saw how God made a covenant with his people. And do you remember what they have said there? Chapter 24, verse 3, "Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has spoken we will do.'" And chapter 24, verse 7, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient.'" And you find the same in chapter 19. Not just once, but numerous times, they have vowed to God for their obedience. But look at what is happening in our chapter. This is a picture of the sinners. This is how we are apart from God's grace. When we read our chapter, Are we not clear that our salvation is of God, not of ourselves? If our salvation is accomplished by our works, then no one will be saved. Here, God is very angry because of their sins. Verse 9 and 10, the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now, then let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. And I will make of you a great nation. You could see how angry God is. But even after this, the Israelites repeat the same sin over again. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 12, it tells us a story of Jeroboam, a king of Israel. And there we see him building the golden calves. Chapter 12, verse 28. So the king consulted and made two golden calves. And he said to them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt. This is what the sinners do. This is us apart from the grace of God. Indeed, no one is righteous, not even one. Psalm 106, verse 19 through 21 says, They made a calf in Horeb, meaning Sinai, and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Hopeless sinners. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies will be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If you keep reading that Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is how the fallen world is. But see, these Israelites, they're saved out of Egypt. And yet, they do this in our chapter. See, this is how we live. This is how we are without God's grace. If God does not recreate us anew, if God does not save us, if God is not with us and working in us to make us more like His Son, this is who we are, and this is how we are. We will worship the creatures rather than the true God. We will worship the world rather than God. God commanded them to build a tabernacle of God, but these sinners build a Tower of Babel. And we really need to think about this. God is commanding us to build a tabernacle, build a true tabernacle. But are we building a Tower of Babel in our lives? Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name." See, the same thing happens in our passage, chapter 32, verse 1b. "Come, make us a God who will go before us." See, this is what sin is all about. Now, when we see how they make the golden calf, we will see how that is so different from how God wanted them to make His tabernacle. They make the golden calf out of dissatisfaction of their hearts concerning what God is doing for them. And this is always the case. Why you work or live for the world? Because you're dissatisfied with what God is doing in your life. And that's exactly what happens. They build this golden calf because they are very dissatisfied. They feel lack. Even though God is with them and God provides everything they need. And God is saying, well, wait until you get to the promised land. More will be given. And yet they are dissatisfied. They feel lack. It is also completely according to what their sinful hearts desire. It is by the sinful man's plan, and it is not according to the hearts that are moved by the Holy Spirit in case of the tabernacle. It has nothing to do with what God has commanded. They just build it, following after their sinful hearts. The contributions were demanded rather than what we read in the building of tabernacle, chapter 35, verse 5a, "Taking from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution." And we saw that the tabernacle shows how it is so difficult for the sinners to meet with God. But with the golden calf, now everyone is able to meet with God without sacrifice, without repentant hearts. They could just come to God whenever they want, however they want it, without sacrifice, without repenting hearts. So this is the kind of God they want. And with the golden calf, they have made an idol which cannot see, cannot hear, cannot touch, or anything like that. Cannot see and cannot hear. They have made their God in the image of their sinful nature. Their God is now a thing of this world. Verse 1, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" sheep without shepherd. That is what we see here. For 40 days, Moses is up in the mountain with God, and he's not coming down. They have become anxious. They have waited 40 days, and they are no longer willing to wait patiently. Why? Because they just could not trust Moses. And ultimately, they just could not trust God. Do you remember their murmuring at the wilderness of sin, testing God in chapter 17? Is the Lord among us or not? I mean, obviously he's not with us because we're having this difficult situation. If God is with us, why would we have this difficult situation? That's what they're thinking. So they question, is God with us or not? Same thing happens here. Little bit of difficult times and they think that God has abandoned them. Because their whole focus is in this world. And there are so many churchgoers today doing the same thing. If they face certain difficult times and sufferings and persecution, then they make a quick decision. God has abandoned me. And since they are not like us, maybe it is easy for us to be sympathetic and try to understand these sinners here. They felt that they have been abandoned in the wilderness. The promised land is nowhere in sight. It's not like they could see the promised land from a distance. And God is nowhere to be found, they think. So they are worried. Just like today's churchgoers, because heaven is not in their sight. And many times they feel that God has left them. That God does not love them anymore. Is God among us or not? So now they're worried, they're nervous, they're so quickly they forget the great works of God and they have those works of God that they have witnessed. They so quickly forget who they have become because of the salvation of God. They so quickly forget God. They said to themselves, how can we live here in the wilderness? Just like what we saw in the parable of sower, the worries of the world chokes the word of God and they rebel against God. She says, the worries of the world chokes the word of God. And that's what happens. So they cry out, make us a God who will go before us. This is more of breaking the second commandment rather than the first commandment. But ultimately, it is breaking the first commandment also. Their sin is not having another God, but making a false image of the true God. And today's Christians do the same. They have wrong understanding of how true God is. So they, in their sinful heart, create their own God in their sinful image, thinking that God will make them rich, God will give them whatever they desire to have. But that is not God of the Bible. God never promised you that that's what he will do. But by making a false image of the true God, by doing that, they are now serving another God. So they're breaking the first commandment also. Our God, the true God, is not visible. We are not able to see him. Thus the question, does he truly exist? They desire a God that they are able to see and touch. They have seen many gods that the Egyptians worshipped. All their gods were visible. And that is what they want also. They want to be just like any other nation in the world. They want to live just like non-Christians. They want it to be just like the sinful world. But God said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28 through 32, be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, so that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever, for you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you are going into dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? And I also may do likewise. You shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add nor take away from it. Now, let's look at Aaron. He's the leader here. Aaron. When people said to him, make us a God who will go before us, what should have been his response? You know, here he might be agreeing with other people, or he's just afraid of people. And as a leader of the church, this is serious. John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43. Nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And this is, so many times, this is why people sin, because they're afraid of people. Because everybody's doing it, and you don't want to go against them. Even though what they're doing is clearly sin. You know, we talk about peer pressure when we talk about, you know, our kids. But there's peer pressure for adults too. Yeah, you don't want to rock the boat, you know, people say. But when it's about the honor of our God, what should we do? Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be bond servant of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to please you, and you are not here to please me. Let's get that, really get that straight. We are here to please God and God alone. We are here to obey God and God alone. You're not here to obey pastors or elders. You are here to obey God. The church is not a business. And the congregation is not the customers. And the customers are the king is not our motto. See, only Jesus Christ is our king. And our purpose is to please God and Him alone. See, that's why we never take surveys. We don't find out what you like. Because it really doesn't matter what you like. We want to know what God likes and we want to obey Him. That's why we're all here. But see, if this is business, then customers are the king. You need to please the customers. That's how your business is successful. But the church is not a business. We are here to please God. Because we do not seek the approval of men, nor of this world. Yeah. See, it's not like gang. Once you join, you never could leave. Obviously not. You knew so many people left. But reason for leaving has to be biblical. Because our church is not doing anything to just make them stay. If it is business, then that's how we'll do. We'll do anything to make them stay. But if people are against what we do, and what we do is according to the Bible, then what can we do? Because we're not here. You know, just because all of us says, yes, what we do is right, doesn't make it right. Only God is right. And we must understand that. And you, I pray, and I plead with you, you make sure that this church does everything according to the Bible. If you see anything that we do, anything that we say, teach, that is not according to the Bible, please don't be afraid of the session or elders or pastor. No. Bring it and you fight. Because this is Jesus' church. No one else. And it is your responsibility. Just because you challenge pastor doesn't make you a bad Christian. It doesn't. You have to. So if anybody says anything like, okay, let's make a God for us. Let's make golden calf. Then don't just follow it. Rebuke it. See, sinners want a God who they are able to control. A God who they are able to manage according to their sinful hearts. A God who would accomplish what they desire. A genie kind of God. That's what they want. You just rub something and says, okay, do this for me. Is that how your prayers are? Right, rubbing the thing, say, do this for me, and your genie God just does whatever you ask? Is that what Christianity is all about? You really need to think through what you're praying. Because our God is not a genie. See, sinners love God who would move according to their will. See, it's all about my will be done, not yours. You're there, God, to do my will. See, we have this, whenever I read this passage, and somehow I read it often, I feel really sad. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 through 17. Jesus says this. He says, but to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. So he looks at the sinful people, this generation, and, you know, generation after generation, it got worse. I don't think it got any better. And he says, what can I compare this generation to? And he compares it like this. These are the people like children. And these children, they play flute and they say to God, God, look at, we're playing flute. How come you're not dancing? Come on, God. We're playing flute for you and you're not dancing. Because if I play flute, God must dance, no? How dare God not dancing? I'm playing flute for you. That's what Jesus says, comparing the generation to this. This is how people are, he said. Look, God, look at what we did. Look, come on, you gotta play with this. You know, go along with what we're doing here. They wanna control God. So if they play sad music, then they should, you know, God should cry because that's what we're doing. If we play playful music, then God should dance, right? This is how Jesus saw the sinful people. Also, the sinners want this world. They are interested in what they call practical. So messages like ours, always talking about heaven, it's not practical. They hate this kind of sermon. Come on, Pastor Kim, tell me the practical things. You know, like what should I do when I go out a date? Should I kiss? How far should I go on a first date? Come on, these practical things, something that could really help me. Should I lie? Should I not lie? As if they don't know. You already know what you should be doing. I don't have to tell you about those things. You know, it's so funny because, you know, pastor says, like, he gives a preaching about we should not lie. So I say for 40 minutes, you know, don't lie, because I show you all the examples that when you lie, you are disadvantaged and all that kind of stuff. And see, you should not lie. And then people go, amen, as if they didn't know that they should not lie before they heard that sermon. You already know. I mean, come on. I'm talking to adults. How many times you sin without knowing that that is sin? You knew that is sin. So it's not like my job is to tell you, don't lie, or this is sin. You already know. And it doesn't help you. What helps is Jesus Christ, your faith in Him. That's why I preach what I preach. They say you could be too heavenly minded that you became earthly useless. After all, we do live here on earth. They want a God who, according to their understanding, flexible. God who is flexible. That God will allow, you know, sin here and there. That He will not mind when I sin a little bit here and a little bit there. Oh, you have the wrong God. That is not our God. A God who will change according to what my sinful heart desires. A God who could make me feel good and comfortable. So I don't mind coming to you, but just make me comfortable, make me feel good. And I'll come back again. A God who could make me rich, make me successful in this world. God who is our bondservant. A God who will do all that we pray according to our greedy hearts. The sinners will gladly serve that kind of God. But in actuality, they are not really serving that idol that actually they're not serving that idol that idol was created for themselves in the first place. They're actually serving themselves. And these sinners, they don't want heaven. They want this world. They say, let me serve you. But you must do what we ask. The Israelites in our passage is making this kind of God, and they are well pleased with it. Look at what it says in verse 5 and 6. Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. So the next day they rose early. They're willing to rise up early and offer burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And all the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. All the necessary religious ceremonies are performed. They say to their idol, see how well we serve you? We even got up so early to serve you. Now, do what we ask of you. See, they would even serve this kind of God with zeal. And brothers, I could not end like this because this is depressing. The sinners truly deserve to be damned in hell forever and ever. The sinners truly deserve God's eternal wrath and His eternal judgment. But Bible is about the gospel, the amazing grace of God. This is what we see in the book of Exodus. After all this, and they will continue to do this kind of stuff, but does God abandon these people? The amazing grace of God is that God will not abandon His people, even when they abandon Him. God will not abandon you, and God will not abandon me. After the complete accomplishments of our salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, God says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The sins that you commit will not make God abandon you or forsake you. But God will work in you. If you are truly His child, He will work in you so that you will gladly obey. Oh, His love for you is so, what's the word I'm looking for? He will love you to death. Never forsake you. You know, sometimes we are even afraid of this kind of love, because His will for you is to make you like Christ, and sometimes He will use whatever method that He might feel is right, or whatever method that He has already planned. He will do everything that He planned to make you like Christ. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. But brothers and sisters, we do have shepherd. We are not sheep without shepherd. God Himself has come to save us, and God Himself has revealed Himself fully in Jesus Christ. We don't have to make an image of our God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, our God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 9b, He who has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3a, and He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, we don't have to make any image. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus Christ is the one who has revealed God fully to us, and God who is to be served forever has come to serve us. Yes, as we worship, we are here to serve Him, but you understand that He came to serve you. He's not this dictator kind of God that who just tells people to serve Him. No, He serves you. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give His life a ransom for many. And we serve Him with everything we have. It is our greatest pleasure to serve Him. We delight in His will. And even though we do not see Him, we love Him. Even though we do not see Him, we know He is with us. He will never leave us, never forsake us. He will never stop working in us to make us like Him. See, these Israelites, because they could not see Moses and they could not see God, They thought that God has abandoned them. We don't see God either. We don't see Jesus Christ, but you will never think that He would abandon you and forsake you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, "And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Jesus Christ is our God. We serve Him and we worship Him. And unlike Aaron in our passage, we point to Jesus and say, "He is our God, O Church of Christ, who brought you up from sin, from Satan, and from this world." We do not point to anything else, but we point to Jesus Christ and say, "This is your God, who brought you out of sin and out of this world." This is what we are about. Christ and Heaven OPC. We point to Jesus. Because He is the only God we know. And if you want to know more of our God, the Bible is the only place you will know. You will learn. You will find out. Let us please Him and Him only. And don't worry. I don't worry. And I hope you don't either. Because until God calls us, this church will always point to Christ. He's the only God we know. But we need to help one another. We need to truly help one another in this. So you pray, you make sure that this church will do everything according to the Word. Otherwise, God already gave you permission to just overturn the table and make it right. See, Jesus even went to today's language, those churches, and he overturned the table, overturned everything. You do the same if this church does anything wrong, anything that is not according to the Word. And we will, because we're not perfect, but you help us to stay faithful this Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are our God who brought us out of this world and sin. And Father, as Your church, let us have our eyes focused on You and Your glory only. We're not here to please anybody except You. Oh, Father, work in us, work in our church, so that we may continue to be faithful to Your Word. Bless us. We love You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.